on a, I wish I could say it was a nice sunny Friday afternoon, but it's unfortunately, despite being the first week of April, a rather crappy day outside. But we got some exciting news to bring to you. I'm going to be going later in the show to a phone interview with Harsha, who is a organizer with No One Is Illegal in Montreal. Harsha is going to be speaking to us about the situation of the Comité d'Action Sans Statut, which is an action committee comprised of members of the Algerian community in Montreal who are organizing against their collective deportations after the Canadian government, after Immigration Canada, announced that it would be lifting a moratorium on deportations to Algeria. And we're going to talk to Harsha about that situation. And, of course, that conversation will be happening in the context of next week's Border Security Summit. And the Great Lakes Security Summit is going to be a special focus of OCAP's work over the weekend, in particular, given the organizing that's come out of the consulta that happened in Montreal several months ago and the creation of a group called No One Is Illegal Toronto. But first, we're going to bring you some news updates from OCAP land. And as always, OCAP is bogged down in legal world. But a couple of victories coming out of the courtroom earlier this week. After a year and a half ordeal, after $17 million were lost out of the Ontario government's pockets, the charges were thrown out of court today, or on Monday, I should say, against Tucker, who is an OCAP activist and former student at City View School. You'll remember back in the fall of 2001 when OCAP was organizing an economic disruption campaign to challenge the Harris government in its final days. There was the leak of a standardized test, which was to be presented to all grade 10 students, and the tests were leaked, and it cost the government somewhere in the neighborhood of $17 million to make up for that. Now, when the government loses $17 million, they have to account for it somehow. They have to supposedly bring someone to justice. They have to have a scapegoat, is what they have to have. And for a while, it looked like Tucker and Karen Silverwoman were going to be their scapegoats. And they had Karen on charges of possessing the stolen tests, and they had Tucker on charges of actually committing the theft. And 2 weeks ago, just 2 weeks before the start of their trials, the charges against Karen were simply withdrawn. They were withdrawn because there was no evidence, because her supposed possession didn't actually exist. She never had possession of the tests, and she never, therefore, had any basis for being charged on that basis. Now, as far as Tucker then went into court on Monday. Her trial actually began. They went forward with the charges. But what happened was after 2 days of trial, after 2 days of witness after witness after witness who testified to nothing other than the fact that Tucker was in fact a student at City View School at the time of the leak and that Tucker was in fact a political activist, that after 2 days of that level of testimony, the charges were thrown out of court. And $17 million later, the Ontario government does not have a scapegoat for its own incompetence. $17 million later, Tucker and Karen are through their ordeal. They are out of the so-called criminal justice system, and they are back and doing organizing again. But just an unbelievable sham after a year and a half of trying to have them as scapegoats. Nothing. They got nothing on them. And if you think a year and a half is bad, Magali San Martin of the Latin American Coalition Against Racism, a woman who was picked up on June 15th for looking Latino, a woman who was picked up on June 15th and told by police officers at 51 Division that they may do this type of thing in Chile, but you better smarten up in Toronto. A woman who was systemically abused by racist police throughout her ordeal. And ever since June 2000 has been bogged down in the court system and as relating to charges from June 15th, 2000. And on Monday, Magali's charges were thrown out again because there's no evidence. All these people dragged through the criminal justice system, all these people dragged through courts, living under conditions for years and years, and there's been no evidence against them. They were, they are both now scot-free, but they should have been off scot-free from the start, because there was, from the start, absolutely no evidence against them. And we're going to bring in some information about the Border Security Summit, and I believe we have Harsha on the phone. Are you there?
Yep.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Excellent. Now, we know that you guys are coming into town this weekend.
Yep, from Montreal.
From Montreal. You are an organizer with No One Is Illegal Montreal?
Yes.
And I know that No One Is Illegal has done an incredible, incredible amount of work in solidarity with the Action Committee of Non-Status Algerians, or CAS.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about the background information before we get to the recent update on their situation.
Okay. The moratorium on deportations to Algeria was dropped in October. I can't even remember anymore. And what that was that up until now, Algerians, all non-status Algerians in Canada, were protected by a moratorium. They did not legally have resident status, but they had legal status as non-status people protected under the moratorium. And so then in November, the moratorium was dropped, which, if people remember, was around the same time as when the NIPAD agreement negotiations were going on and Jean Chrétien visited Algeria in the hopes of getting foreign direct investment from Canada to Algeria, claiming that Algeria was safe for return. But ironically, of course, he refused to stay in Algeria because it was too unsafe for him to stay there. And so yet at the same time, you know, Canada was declaring that Algeria was safe for return for 1,000 non-status Algerians. So, of course, the hypocrisy never ends. So then with that, it was an incredible amount of mobilization within... Sorry? Hello? Yep. Oh, okay. within the Algerian committee and with supporters of No One Is Illegal, it was a massive, massive campaign, incredible support. And the Algerians fought incredibly. They had demos every week, delegations to the immigration officials demanding... They had three basic demands, that the moratorium be put back in place, that there was no more deportations to Algeria, and that all non-status people were then given full legal status as permanent residents. And then, so given that, and then there was a huge case, and the very brave case of Mohammed and Narad and Ahmed, the family who sought sanctuary in a Montreal church, and that gained a lot of momentum for the campaign, and people start talking about the issues of asylum seekers, the issues of refugees, the right to people, the right for these asylum seekers to stay in Canada, that even though the moratorium was dropped, these people had a right to stay here, had a right to live here, had a right to not go back to Algeria and be killed. So with that, then what happened is that Quebec and Canada went into special negotiations, and what came out of that was the Canada-Quebec procedures, in which what happened is that most of the Algerians, about 960 out of the 1,000 non-status Algerians, live in Quebec. So those non-status Algerians in Quebec were granted a procedure in which they could then apply for immigration to Quebec. So within that, so many hypocrisies come out, one being that it was only allowed, this procedure was only available to non-status people in Quebec. And the main hypocrisy being that the case of these asylum seekers, the case that they were refugees and need to go through a refugee process, were being forced to go through an immigration process. And, of course, the immigration process in Canada is ludicrous. It's about whether you're a good immigrant, whether you have no criminal record, whether you've worked here, whether you're in a good, sustainable job, whether you're the good immigrant with a perfect Canadian family. So now the Algerians can continue to fight that they won't be divided by this procedure, and that Immigration Canada and Immigration Quebec cannot turn an issue of refugees and the right to asylum into one of immigration. So that's what's going on, and they're still fighting. Last week one of the non-status Algerians was arrested, Mohammed, because of pretty much set up, basically. He went to visit the immigration, Quebec immigration offices as a delegation to talk about, to demand that those who were excluded from the procedures for those with criminal records be granted asylum, and he was arrested. And even in his court appearance, it was ridiculous. The lawyer didn't show up on time, and the judge forced him to accept his conditions. And for anyone out there who has had a court date or has been in court, we know that anytime you go to court and your lawyer's not there, they usually just push back your case to the end of the day, which is why there's usually such a backlog of cases every day. And they didn't do that for Mohammed. They threw his case out of court, saying he had to grant, he had to accept his conditions or not, which was that he would no longer visit and be part of any more delegations. But they continue to fight. They continue to mobilize, and it's been very inspiring to work with them.
And it's been inspiring for us to be following that story along, of course.
Yeah.
Also, I know that in Montreal there's a situation where, similar to Toronto and similar to other places across Canada, where there's a situation where Palestinians are being targeted as well. It's not just the Algerian community, but we're now hearing about a lot of cases of Palestinians.
Yeah.
And I know that OCAP works with a lot of people from the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
But could you tell me a little bit about the situation of the Palestinian community in Montreal? Because I know that they are now organizing as well.
Yeah. I actually can't talk much about their case because it's right now in negotiations. But what it is basically, it's been sort of this an implicit rule for the past 2 years, and especially since 9/11, that no refugees from the Palestinian refugee camps would be accepted into Canada. And what we're seeing now is that a huge number of cases who were in the middle of their application procedures were being rejected and have had deportation orders already. So I can't really speak to those cases because they're still in negotiation and some are actually underground. But so what's going on? And a lot of students as well being targeted, sort of tied into the criminalization of Palestinian organizing in Montreal and, all around North America. And a lot of students who, what happened is that Israel in the past few months has had a policy where any money transferred made from occupied territories to outside is 50% of it is taxed and taken away. So students aren't able to pay. This is happening a lot more in the States, where students aren't able to pay their tuitions. And so their status goes from full-time to part-time. And for students on student visas, if they're not taking a full course load, they're deported right away. A few of those cases have come up in Montreal, but as far as I know, a majority of them where the cases of students being deported back to occupied territories is in the States. And it's ridiculous because there are hundreds of students who have part-time status on student visas until they pay their tuitions, for a month, for 2 months. But we're seeing that happen with Palestinian refugees in particular. So a lot of it is obviously, is tied into criminalizing Palestinian organizing, criminalizing Palestinian organizers. A lot of the Palestinian refugees here are very active organizers with SPHR, Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights. So it's a very blatant targeting of their dissent and their organizing in Montreal.
One of the things that No One Is Illegal in Montreal has, in my mind, been really, really exceptional about is the linking of immigration issues and issues of detention and deportation to issues of First Nations sovereignty and First Nations land rights. Do you want to talk a little bit about how No One Is Illegal has approached that?
Well, a lot of it has been in just by virtue of the work we've done. In terms of, actual theoretical links, a lot of it's been done before, and I don't think we're not incredibly novel in talking about issues like that and talking about, the forces of colonialism that dispossess people in the South that lead to that dispossession, and then, the forces of colonialism that lead to genocide and dispossession here around Turtle Island. But a lot of the concrete work has come out of just that in terms of us doing the work. One of our first campaigns at the same time that we were working with the non-status Algerians was the campaign for Justice for Wolf Smoke, who was a Lakota national who was being deported from Canada to the U.S. And the reason that he was being deported is because Wolf Smoke refused to be refused to register under the Indian Act. So he wasn't a Canadian recognized status Indian. And in that sense, it's very, very similar to immigrant refugee communities who refuse to be labeled in that way. And the very labeling of communities by Canada, by the Canadian colonial system, by whether Immigration Canada or Department of Indian Affairs, as for labeling people as non-status or labeling people as illegal aliens or labeling people as status Indian, makes people vulnerable and creates a tier of citizenship, which a lot of Indigenous sovereigntists like Wolf Smoke have rejected. So with that, there was a lot of support work done for Wolf Smoke, and his court date, which was in October, was dropped, and he thinks a lot of that was due to the mass campaign held in Montreal as well as in Saskatchewan and in Regina, Saskatchewan, and Toronto. And recently, a lot of our work has been supporting sovereignty issues in Grassy Narrows, in Ganawage locally, and as well as some peaks. But again, a lot of it, while it's conceptual, it's also just the fact that the work needs to be done, and that any movement for justice that's anti-imperialist needs to be making links with Indigenous sovereignty, with immigrant refugee rights, with self-determination in Palestine and Philippines, you know, anti-globalization movements, anti-war movements. So I think we've been involved in a lot of it. It's just that the Indigenous sovereigntist struggle maybe isn't as strong in Montreal. That's why it's more apparent, but it's just the fact that people are just going out there and doing the work that needs to be done.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Yep.
And we'll see you this weekend at the Security Summit.
Yeah.
The Counter Summit.
Weekend.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you.
Having a problem with your neighbor? Evolved in disagreements with your landlord or roommate? Problems regarding small commercial disputes? Just can't seem to reach an agreement on your problem? We want your problem. The Conflict Resolution Service at St. Stephen's Community House has been providing free community mediation services to thousands of people in Toronto since 1985. Take advantage of this whenever you have a conflict with neighbors, other tenants, friends, even members of your own family. If you want to know more or are looking for a way of resolving a conflict, call St. Stephen's at 416-926-8221, extension 229.
Need some volunteer hours to graduate? Able to speak more than one language? Want to be a positive role model? Here's how you can. My Community Homework Club is a free volunteer-based program that runs at North York's Driftwood Community Center on Mondays and Wednesdays from 4 to 6 p.m. My CHC will soon be implemented at Northwood Community Center on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 4 to 6 p.m. The program helps grade school students with homework and allows both volunteers and students to participate in extracurricular activities. Volunteers receive reference letters, snacks, and can earn prizes like CDs, movie passes, and gift certificates from local organizations. If you would like more information on sponsorship, volunteering, or enrolling a student, call Marina at 416-720-0169 or email fostering_learning@yahoo.ca. Come out and join the club.
Racism,
surveillance,
detention,
deportation.
Will they make us more secure? This April, Ontario's Tory government hosts a Great Lakes Security Summit.
The goal is to maintain the free flow of goods while restricting and monitoring the movement of people, especially non-white asylum seekers already targeted in the United States.
On Sunday, April 6th, come out to an educational forum on the rights of asylum seekers and non-status people in Canada and the U.S.
Workshops and speakers will include Open the Borders, the Committee of Non-Status Algerians, and DRUM.
Translation in Farsi, Arabic, and Portuguese will be available, as will food.
There will also be a screening of Holiday Camp, documenting resistance to refugee detention camps in Australia.
It'll all take place on Sunday, April 6th from noon till 6 at OISE, 252 Bloor West at St. George Subway Station. For more info, call 416-925-6939.
Presented by Toronto's No One Is Illegal Committee.
Okay, and welcome back to OCAP Radio. We were just on the phone with Harsha from No One Is Illegal Montreal. No One Is Illegal Montreal is one of the groups that is going to be coming into town in the next couple of days. for the counter conference on Sunday and the demonstration on Monday against the Great Lakes Security Summit. And I'm going to give you the full details. And perhaps the best place to start off is an explanation of exactly what it is we are talking about. Last summer, Ernie Eves hosted or actually attended a summit in Michigan on the invite of the Michigan governor, where Ontario, Quebec, Michigan, Vermont, New York, and several other states, as well as corporate interests and representatives of Immigration Canada and the INS from the states, the Immigration and Naturalization Service, had discussions about border economics of trade between the U.S. and Canada. And out of that, they decided that issues of security, issues of who gets across that border, need to be more fully discussed. In the meantime, we've seen an horrendous escalation of attacks on immigration and on immigrants and refugees in the states. That's taken the form of the Operation Liberty Shield. It's taken the form of numerous Patriot Acts. I believe we're on the second Patriot Act already since September 11th. And it's taken the form of arbitrary detention in Canada. It's taken the form of the lifting of this moratorium on deportations to Algeria. We have Bob Runciman here in Ontario running his mouth off about setting up detention camps for immigrants. The climate of fear has been created, and that climate can only escalate or de-escalate depending on our actions. And therefore, it's very important that as these people, as Ernie Eves and Bob Runciman, greet representatives from the INS, greet American border state governors and government officials, as Immigration Canada plots with the INS on how to better exploit people, how to better limit the flow of people across borders, that we in turn meet and plot how better to defend ourselves and how better to take these people on. And on that note, we are holding a counter conference this coming Sunday, beginning at 12 noon. It's Sunday, April 6th, and the location is at Oise, which is 252 Bloor Street West. It's located at St. George Subway. We're going to be up on the fourth floor, room 4-422. From noon, 12 o'clock to 1:30, there's going to be immigration lawyers coming down to speak about the exact room to maneuver within immigration law in Canada as well as in the U.S. A bit of contrast between the two countries, but mostly focusing on the situation here in Canada for people who want to come down. There's going to be time for a question and answer. And before at 1:30, we move on to amazing testimonials. You heard Harsha mention Mohammed Sherfi, who went into sanctuary with his family in a Montreal church. He will be speaking along with Dorothy Agaro, who has been mentioned numerous times, been featured on this program, who is a woman from Nigeria who fought back along with the help of OCAP against her deportation and won. And there's going to be a number of other people who are going to talk about community organizing in defense against deportations and are going to be sharing stories. And there'll be space for people from the audience to share their stories of fighting back against deportation as well. And that'll take us through until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock at Oise in the room, an absolutely incredible panel discussion. A representative, possibly Harsha or someone else from Known as Illegal Montreal, will be featured on that panel as well. I believe Mugir Hindi from Known as Illegal Toronto Organizing Committee will be speaking. He's also a member of Al-Adwa, Palestinian Right to Return Coalition, an amazing, tireless activist, well worth checking out, as well Avi Goh, who's been doing this type of work for over 20 years as part of the Status Coalition, Nandita Sharma, who has worked with Open the Borders in Vancouver and is now based out of the University of Windsor in Ontario, will be coming in to speak on that panel. Unfortunately, we do have to announce that due to Operation Liberty Shield, due to the fact that their offices are swarmed, nonstop with calls from detention centers due to the fact that they're dealing with the numerous disappearances taking place in the United States. Representatives from the Coalition for Human Rights of Immigrants and Desi's Rising Up and Moving will not be able to make it from New York City. They've had to cancel. They're just absolutely swamped with the work that needs to be done. And as well, someone from the Comité d'Action Sans Statut will be featured on that panel as well. Before, at 5 o'clock, we'll be serving up some dinner. Warm dinner, courtesy of the Afghan Women's Center, as well as the Vegetarium at U of T. And then, while we eat, we're going to watch a movie called Holiday Camp, How Is Your Liberation Bound Up With Mine, which is supposedly an excellent, excellent film dealing with the detention centers in Australia, which is a very timely and appropriate film to be watching, given that one of the hosts of the Great Lakes Security Summit, Ontario Minister of Public Safety and Security Bob Runciman, has been very recently featured in the news calling for an Australian-style detention system in Ontario. To give you an idea, we've mentioned it before, it can't be said enough times, Australian-style detention centers basically mean isolated prisons where people are kept until their claims are heard. In Australia, this has resulted in people going on hunger strike, people sewing their lips shut, 13-year-old children attempting to commit suicide, people basically losing their control over themselves due to the completely inhumane conditions. And it has also spawned an incredible resistance movement in Australia. And it's worth flagging at this time that on April 13th, the same coalition of groups that helped to organize the massive demonstration at Woomera detention camp, where several detainees were able to escape during that demonstration, are planning to converge on the even more sinister Baxter Detention Center, which is located also in the interior of Australia, and they're planning an action there. And this action against the Security Summit very much needs to keep in mind the actions of our comrades in Australia, as well as the No Border movement in Europe, as well as Desi's Rising Up and Moving and Cree down in New York City and the incredible work that they are doing. When the film is over, we will go and we will tell the delegates how much they are welcome in our city as they arrive at the hotel, as they settle into the Sutton Place Hotel for drinks that evening. We will be there with a peaceful, non-violent, but very loud and very angry picket outside of that hotel. Bring your pots and pans. We're going to be there at 7 o'clock. The Sutton Place Hotel is located on the northeast corner of the Bay and Wellesley intersection, and we'll be there from 7 o'clock, giving them some indigestion, hopefully. Hopefully we'll be able to make enough noise that they can't sip their drinks in peace. And when they get down to business the following morning, 10 a.m., we will get down to business as well with a demonstration meeting at the Sutton Place Hotel, corner of Bay and Wellesley, at 10 a.m. And I strongly, strongly urge all of you to come out. This is an event that is not only dealing with issues of immigrants and refugees. This is an issue that is very close to everyone's heart at this time. It is definitely very much in line with anti-war movement across the world. We have to remember that today at Nathan Phillips Square, we were greeted with the absolutely sickening, sickening spectacle of Premier Ernie Eves addressing a crowd of 1,000 war supporters and saying that he thought the Canadian government was rather cowardly not to support our American neighbors, and calling for Canada to offer any and all support in the U.S. imperial invasion of Iraq. Absolutely disgusting comments. To match the disgusting comments of the co-host of this conference, Bob Runciman. So we have to remember that this conference is basically taking place in the context of the Ontario government trying to get on the good side of the U.S. government so that trade won't be harmed, at the same time as people are severely, severely harmed by these policies. You will not find a more evil to the core event than the Great Lakes Security Summit, and I absolutely urge everyone to come out Monday morning at 10 a.m. to tell them how unwelcome those delegates are in our city and how welcome the numerous immigrants and refugees who seek asylum in Canada are. Changing gears just a little bit, I want to tell you all that if you do not have enough junk in your life, you need to get yourself to the Transact Club tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. and onwards throughout the day, where OCAP will be hosting its first annual rummage sale. You'll find everything from brand spanking new clothes to the latest, most grooving CDs to furniture to bicycles. I think we're going to have some computers down there. Let me tell you, if you need junk, we got it for you. If you got your own junk, bring it on down and we'll give it on to someone else. It's at the Transact Club, which is located on Brunswick Avenue, just south of Bloor. And we'll be there from 10 a.m. onwards. Come on down, whether you want to buy, sell, or just hang out. We can talk about the security summit. We can talk about housing. We can talk about anything. There will be lots of people there hanging out all day. And it should be a really good scene, even if you're not in the rummage collecting business. So I urge everyone to come down to that. And just one other thing I want to let everyone know. We've been talking on this show about personal needs allowance recently. Personal needs allowance, just to remind everyone, is the money that people should be getting out of the shelter system when they're not receiving Ontario Works, when they're not receiving disability, when they're not working. It's for people who are staying in the shelters and who have absolutely nothing. And as the system works, folks, we know that those who have less or are screwed around more than those who have more. And as there are levels in society, there are even levels within the shelters. And those who are most vulnerable out of the most vulnerable populations are those who are getting most screwed over. And we are seeing people staying at the Maxwell Megan Center in Toronto at the corner of Queen and Sherbourne who are being screwed out of $25. I mean, it's $25, and even that is all they're entitled to for a week. It's just enough to buy some toiletries, to buy a few TTC tokens to go around, and they're being screwed out of it because the Maxwell Megan Center has a system where if you miss the limited window for pickup, if you miss it, you don't get it. You're out of luck, and unfortunately. It's an absolutely brutal system. It's been very resistant to change because hostile services and the Ontario government are basically washing their hands of it and refusing to force changes on the Maxwell Megan Center. We keep hearing from hostile services that they're in the process of writing up changes to the system, but so far we've seen very little action. On Thursday, we went down to the Maxwell Megan Center and we spoke to officials there who totally blew us off. And I mean, OCAP does delegation actions quite often, and we're quite often greeted with very, very rude government bureaucrats, very, very rude poverty industry hacks. And this day was no exception, but in fact, it was absolutely shocking, even to us, the level of rudeness which we were greeted with, just trying to raise questions about money that someone was legitimately owed. And we were just basically chased out of the police with calls of call the police. And they just absolutely refused to deal with us. We took the case then later that morning down to hostel services itself. And it took all of about 2 minutes for hostel services to agree that we were in the right. And we were pleased to announce that Chaka George, a resident of the Maxwell Megan Center, will be getting that money that he is owed. A good victory to go on a string of personal needs allowance case victories. Unfortunately, it's just unbelievable for every case that we get and fight and win. There are numerous people in the shelter system who are getting screwed out of their money still. And as much as case victories are excellent steps forward, we also have to admit that it's not a sustainable way. We need to see systemic changes in the way that personal needs allowance is distributed. And we need to see them immediately. So OCAP will be continuing in the upcoming weeks trying to pressure and bring changes to the distribution of PNA within Maxwell Megan Center in particular, but right across the city. And just to give out an award to city council's worst thug of the week, Councillor Pam McConnell, who to the faces of frontline workers at 60 Richmond was telling them that she was on their side and was going to bat, Pammy has been going behind their backs and pressuring, and has now come out publicly pressuring the board of directors at Community Neighborhood House, an absolutely one of the main pillars of that neighborhood, an organization which provides services to thousands of people, provides numerous services. Pammy is now coming out publicly saying that she wants CNH completely out of the downtown. She wants them gone, not just the 60 Richmond drop-in, also the shelter beds at the Metropolitan United Church, also the programs run out of the main house on Ontario Street. So CNH is under attack in Toronto's downtown, and we will be bringing you updates about that. But I just wanted to mention that Pam McConnell definitely wins OCAP's Bitch of the Week award. And on that note, we're going to leave you until next week. So everyone, come out on Sunday, come out on Monday, and come out tomorrow with your junk. There is suffering in the streets.